Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity is off at CPAC for the next couple of days. There's been no reports of him being assaulted or arrested for assaulting Occupy protesters. So far, so good on that front. Here in his place is Daniel Foster, editor of National Review Online. And Daniel, let's start with what has been a very troubling story, but in a good way, there's a twist today, and that's the guy who's leading the charge on this fight back against the Obama administration over this mandate through Obamacare that everybody's got to cover contraceptives, even those who find it morally objectionable, of course, such as the Catholic Church and its various institutions. Marco Rubio, who's obviously been a huge voice on fighting the debt and deficits and a lot of other things, conservative star, got a great reception today at CPAC. He's been one of the leading spokespeople on this, and if anyone is going to be able to successfully take this fight in a very articulate way to the Obama administration, he's already doing a great job of it. My money's on him as this untenable position from the Obama administration continues in this fight.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that it is an untenable position. And remember that covered here, not just contraceptives, but actually drugs that induce early abortion. So it's
correct.
Even more. See, the thing is that, and this is the same tack that Planned Parenthood has used, and they've been in the news the last couple of weeks, is that they associate themselves in the public's mind with women's health, which is utterly non-controversial, and also pre-implantation contraceptives, which are not controversial to a majority of Americans. And so when we hear about a contraception mandate, that's a little bit misleading. It actually includes drugs that induce early abortion. So I think that in this case, we're really helped by the fact that we are in the right on the merits. This is a violation of religious conscience pretty much any way you cut it. I mean, I would go even further and say that it's absurd that we're at a place where the executive branch dictating what, you know, employers have to provide in their health plans based on some smoke and mirrors independent board of experts, which happens to contain a lot of pro-abortion rights members. If you read Catherine Lopez's reporting on it today at the Corner, I think it's absurd that we're even in that position to start with. But given that that's our status quo, sadly, until we repeal Obamacare, we have to, you know, carve out a very robust, very healthy exception for religious conscience here. And I think a guy like Marco Rubio is the perfect guy to make the case. A religious guy, but not necessarily known as being any kind of evangelical firebrand. A conservative, but a conservative from a swing state. And as you said, very, very articulate, and a guy who's raised his national profile in recent years and is on the short list, and I'm sure the very short list, of any one of the three men who might be the Republican nominee this year for the vice presidency. And you're right, he was articulate on it today at CPAC. I read some of his remarks. I read the transcript. Sadly, I'm not there. I think this is a fight that we're going to win.
Dan, I think that's spot on. And as Jim and I pointed out yesterday, and you alluded to before, with the ever-growing implementation of Obamacare, even those who don't consider this a big issue, I guarantee you something in there will make you very angry about the government infringing on your freedoms. And this is a very important place to start the fight.
That's the beauty of Obamacare. It's the gift that keeps giving.
Well, in some ways, yes. In fact, it's the good martini today in a warped way. But as far as our bad martini today, there's a new poll out from WorldNet Daily and Wenzel polling. Fritz Wenzel used to work for John Zogby. That suggests 20% of Republicans right now are leaning towards voting for President Obama, which could be an exaggeration. Maybe the polling's not that accurate. It could be dissatisfaction, Dan, with the Republican field. Obviously, the turnout in the early contest has not been all that spectacular. But if the real number is anywhere close to 20% come November, it's going to be an early night, but a really long next 4 years.
I don't buy the poll. I mean, I haven't looked too closely at the crosstabs, but I'd be very surprised if, for instance, people who were enthusiastic Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum supporters were saying that they were leaning towards voting for Obama. Or I shouldn't even say enthusiastic, people who preferred among a field they might otherwise consider weak, people who preferred Santorum or Gingrich, I'd be very surprised if any of them were willing to lean Obama. If these are legitimate Republican voters, then we're talking about probably very, very moderate to independent Republican voters who are frustrated by the conservative tone of the primary, because that's what Republican primaries are about, the conservative base. When talk turns to a general election and we're really talking about a vision for all of America, and whoever the nominee is starts framing the debate in that way, we see it every 4 years, that a lot of these folks will come home. But I just find it very, very hard to believe that anyone who would self-identify as a Republican voter after what we've seen from this administration in 3 years is going to vote for President Obama. Now, there will be a few percent that do, because there always are. But I would also be very, very surprised if that number weren't outpaced by the number of self-described Democratic voters who are going to come in and vote for a Republican. Now, none of this is to say that the president is not a favorite to win re-election. If you put a gun to my head right now, I'd say it's a pure coin flip. I mean, as 50-50 as it gets, I don't lean one direction or the other. But I think that you're going to see more loss, especially with things like the mandate that we just talked about. You're going to see more loss of Democratic voters from the president than you are Republican voters from whoever the Republican nominee is.
Yeah, this poll certainly shows numbers higher in this category than any other national poll I've seen in terms of Obama's approval ratings, and so the likelihood that's a real number, we'll see over time. There'll be obviously a lot more polls between now and November, but cross your fingers and hope that that's way too high. On to martini number three now, Dan, and California is clearly in an economic pinch, and so are many localities in California, and there are smarter ways than others, perhaps, to raise your revenue. Cutting taxes, regulation, all those sorts of things are always good ways to do it, but not in Los Angeles County. No. Los Angeles County is instituting $1,000 fines for beachgoers who throw a football, throw a frisbee, basically anything that goes along or above the sand between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Now, you can play water polo out in the Pacific Ocean, but if you take a small frisbee or a football, and maybe even a kite, perhaps would be against the rules there. $1,000, way to boost tourism and a way to make your local constituents really, really happy.
Yeah, in various parts of California, you cannot buy a Happy Meal, or at least that's the way some city council members in San Francisco want it to be. You cannot buy a puppy. You cannot buy a goldfish legally because it's considered cruelty. You can, and you have the right, as defended by the city council in San Francisco, to eat in a restaurant completely nude, without anything between your undercarriage and the seat that you're sitting in. And you also, if in California, if you want to hire a babysitter, well, you better offer them paid time off and a healthcare plan. So, and just add this latest regulation to the laundry list of things you have to except if you want to live in sunny, beautiful California. I mean, I remember when Rick Perry was enjoying his first surge among the Republican field, some liberal, I forget who it was, wrote a column about what if the entire country were like Texas. Well, I'll take an entire country that's run like Texas any day of the week and twice on Sunday over an entire country that looked like California. But you heard it here first. If you're looking to play Frisbee, better move to Corpus Christi.
Sounds like a very good idea, and they just don't learn. I mean, I know they're a huge part of our economy, and like the fifth or sixth, or at least at one time they were, in the world. But if you wonder why they've fallen onto ridiculously hard financial times, it's a complete lack of common sense when it comes to really even any mild fiscal decision. And way to go, Los Angeles County. This is just insanity personified. But as Dan pointed out, it's just the latest in a long string of really stupid decisions by quote-unquote leaders in the Golden State. So, Dan, we'll see if we find anything equally insane tomorrow, but it certainly won't be for a lack of looking if we don't.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Dan Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.